Good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Mark. The Gospel according to Mark chapter 13 in verse 26 is our text. It's a second coming text. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Now, originally, I was going to be preaching on Mark chapter 12 and verse 26, and I jumped a little bit forward because something came to my attention that was in the news this week. On January the 24th, the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists issued a press release. Now, what is the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists? Well, their origin goes back to 1945, Albert Einstein, the Manhattan Project, and all of this. And what their purpose was to try to make sure that we didn't destroy ourselves. So they were trying to avoid the end of the world by humanistic means. And they're still going about that work. And what these fine folks did was they created this thing called the Doomsday Clock, and they set it at a certain point. Right now, they just moved the hand. It was 100 seconds until midnight. Now it's 90 seconds until midnight. And ironically, I thought we had that here, and I checked this morning. There's actually a Doomsday Clock in the back of this church, in the back of St. Anne's. It's set at 12 o'clock. Since we started preaching the gospel here in 2009, that clock has been set at just before midnight. And I don't know who did that, and we don't mess with that because that's, you know, it's not our clock. The Doomsday Clock, we actually got one right here. Now, this collection of humanists came together to offer their perspective on the end of the world, or at least the end of the world as we know it. And they have certain sponsors, including 10 Nobel laureates. A Nobel laureate is simply somebody who won a Nobel Prize somewhere along the way. And they have several members, most notably including the former president of Mongolia, as well as leaded scientists from various places, and all these folks give their input. And they name several factors that they believe will indicate that the world is ending soon. They talk about the Russia-Ukraine war that's going on. They talk about nuclear proliferation, bio threats, pandemics, climate events. Part of their religion is climate change, and disinformation. So you can see kind of where they are on the political spectrum, a very political group. Now, their solutions include a greater role of the United Nations, an embrace of 1984 dystopian-style government, humanistic philosophy, and a crisis mindset which imposes the opinions of these very smart people on all of the rest of us. Now, the fatal flaw in their work is that they are offering a godless perspective which excludes and conflicts with Christian Bible truth. Now, the unbeliever has only got doomsday to look forward to. But the children of God do not have that same fatalistic outlook. We know that Jesus Christ is coming back, and that is going to be a great day for us. But it's very sobering that there are folks out there who are looking at the end of the world without any hope at all. Let us apply the words of Christ to Old Testament prophecy concerning him in its entirety. Now I tell you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Now friends, there are 456 distinct Old Testament prophecies concerning Jesus the Christ. And 300 of them have been fulfilled already. So we can be quite certain of our reasonable faith that it will also be that in those days, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power, and glory. We have 4 points of application this morning. The first is that human sin is the root cause of all of the problems of this world. Second, that sinful human beings cannot solve the problems of the world, notwithstanding the claims of these eminent atomic scientists. Third, having done a root cause analysis, God sent his son Jesus into the world to solve the sin problem. And fourth, the Bible version of the doomsday clock shall be presented. We will note that this is a misnomer for believers, but it ought to sober us up and get us out there evangelizing, sharing our hope with other folks who have no hope but doomsday. First point of application, that human sin is the root cause of all of the problems of the world. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" The devil will stop like that. Has God really said? He's going to put doubts in our minds. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." And then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. The Apostle Paul writes of the consequences of this deliberate act. In the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, in the 12th verse, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned." So we see that sin brings shame. It furthers Satan's program. It introduces disease into the world. It contaminates and permeates God's creation, which was originally created and determined to be good. It leads to conflict, and its end is death. Sin is the root cause of war, of pandemics, of the abuse of the environment, and every kind of conflict in life. Friends, sinful human beings cannot solve the problems of the world. Sin is the disease, as we have just demonstrated from the scriptures. But no human being or institution has a prescription to treat it or to cure it. In fact, everything that human beings have come together to try to do to solve the problem, beginning with the Tower of Babel, have only compounded our problems and made them worse. When you hear wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. Conflicts between nations must happen. Why? Because of sin. Paul says, "As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." This is good advice. But does this not imply that most folks are not so peaceable to live with? Come to think of it, are you? Apart from the restraining power of God the Holy Spirit, what are people like who seek to solve the world's problems? We got a description we can look at from the book of Galatians. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. This is the default nature of human beings. And such was some of you. Yet even the best of men cannot rid themselves of their own sin, let alone solve everybody else's problems and the problems of the world, which are rooted in the same disease. Enter Jesus Christ. Having done a root cause analysis, God sent his Son into the world to solve the sin problem. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He came down to save us because he loves you. Though you are his enemy, he has called you out of the world, out of darkness, into his glorious light. And he offers you hope this morning. For the Christian, he reminds you of the hope that you have, that you may not have spent so much thinking of as you ought. The hope of Job. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change comes. You shall call, and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands. For now you number my steps, but do not watch over my sin. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and you cover my iniquity. The Apostle Paul says this, words of great encouragement for those who believe, words of hope for those who are on the doomsday track. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, no man, no human institution has the prescription for sin. But the great physician has written it out with his own blood. A final point of application. is the Bible relation to the doomsday clock. First off here, as we've stated, the term is a misnomer for those who truly believe. For the Christian, the end of this life in this world simply means a life of greater quality in heaven with the Savior. And we look forward to our Lord coming back to accomplish our final salvation. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. In summary, we know, we are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Should the Lord come 90 seconds to midnight tonight, the faithful shall pass from the midst of some nonsensical dream. I don't know if you have those dreams that don't make any sense, to eternity in the light. Much better. But the doomsday clock ticks on for those who have too much pride, for those who trust in works, for those who reject the most reasonable faith set forth in the Bible, and who procrastinate without ever having full intent of choosing Jesus, following him, repenting of sin, and the like. The clock keeps on ticking for our friends at the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists, for they are too smart, too educated, and too sophisticated to believe. They think that they have power, but they shall come to dust at midnight. The clock keeps on ticking for you. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Jesus may return, or death may come upon you suddenly. It is always suddenly. Behold, Jesus tells us a story. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, you are tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets. Neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. We like to think that if we had lived in Jesus' time, while he was walking the earth, we would have got right on board. I don't know about that, for such is the heart of man, that men will fight to remain in their sins and choose darkness rather than light. For Lazarus, his faith was rewarded. For the rich man, his doomsday clock struck 12. So please, each of you consider these things spiritually for yourself. Christian, you are called to action. The time is short. There are more people headed for doomsday than for eternal life with Christ Jesus our Lord. For the uncertain, for my non-Christian friend, it is 90 seconds to midnight. Consider God's truth set forth in his Bible. And if you are of the mind that these things may be pie in the sky by and by, I would encourage you to search the scriptures. I had mentioned before I used Edesheim's number of 456 prophecies of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, 300 of which have been fulfilled. I challenge you to look them up and come to a conclusion and a decision. Now, no decision is a rejection. But friends, I would pray even more than that, that God the Holy Spirit has done his work in you this morning, and that you would make your peace with God once for all. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for coming down and solving the sin problem, something that man could never do, for offering an atonement, a covering for sins that we could never offer, for giving us a salvation that we could never attain on our own. For the hope of your second coming, and for the promise of a reward of eternal life for those of us who believe. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit does his work in any uncertain or unsettled souls this morning in the hearing of these words. That there might be a certainty of a hope in heaven, not a confusion or a fatalism such as the world has. And we thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do. May your hand be upon the remainder of our service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.